This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. This is Jim Burke. I'm here with John Morrow, and this is Brewocracy Now, I hope.
Oh, it's so much is, Jim. It's so much is.
He's there. Oh, my God. Hi, John. Oh, my God. I'll just share. We just had a momentary panic because some things went away, and we couldn't find the Zoom link, and that's on me.
Jim, you're good. You could always blame me for things. You guys are heroes at making this work no matter what.
It's all John's fault. That's really nice. let me just, I'm just looking over my shoulder to stop something here.
Oh, you take your time. Oh. It's good to be on, Jim, and we'll have to get back in the studio one of these days.
Yes, yes, yes.
It'll take out the spinning plates complexity of having to run a live radio broadcast through a video link with people who you can't see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it looks like we have Carrie Height here, and we can't see her.
I'd introduce her, but I don't know if she needs an introduction. Maybe I'll just say she wears a couple of really important hats in the community and for the city, and a little bit of a different take today on the, I'd say, almost like the ether and the glue that holds everything together in a town like Port Townsend. I feel like we are what we are because of volunteer energy. And I'm literally looking at one of those right now in you, Jim.
Oh.
Because that's how KPTZ functions. That's how a lot of our festivals function. That's part of how the city functions. And we're really excited to talk with Carrie today about a reboot of our Engage PT program. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you so much, John. And hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Carrie. Great to see you. Good to see you.
My camera doesn't work, so I can see you, but you can't see me.
Oh, okay. So we can make faces at you, but you can't make faces at us. That's too bad.
Yeah.
You make great faces.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us.
So, yeah, we are relaunching our Engage PT part of our website. And part of the impetus of this is just to really welcome everybody back after the pandemic to the city to volunteer, to receive information, to learn about hot topics, to give donations if they want, and just really trying to make it easy for people to engage with the city and welcoming. And so if you go onto the city's website and you click the Engage PT button now, we've rolled a lot of things under Engage PT. People can learn about all of our Port Townsend initiatives. We're talking about the golf course in Mountain View Commons, talking about Evans Vista Housing Master Plan. You can click on Do, which is volunteer opportunities. So you can volunteer in the Parks Department. You can volunteer with the police, with the library, with Public Works. You can click on Receive, which is just stay informed. So you'll receive, you can fill out your name to put it on a distribution list to sign up for email subscriptions and stay informed on lots of city topics, city meetings, city newsletter projects, and more. Or you can give donations. We built out a part of the website for so people can learn about our Parks Memorial donations and our public art donations, and then Parks and Legacy giving. As the community knows, there was a woman who passed away last year, and she gave a pretty sizable donation to help us with Chetsamoka Park. That is very, very helpful for us. And we want people to know that they can do that, that there is a place to do that. If you want to think about a legacy in Port Townsend, then you can go onto this website and click on that and read about it. So just really trying to encompass everything that the city does, that you can either we give you information, or you get information, or you volunteer, or you're active with us.
That sounds great. And of course, you guys started, you did the kickoff on the project last week. And you told me last week that you have over 100 responses already, even before that event started, on people who wanted to give input on the golf course in the Mountain View Commons.
Right. Thanks for that question, Jim. I've run into several people this week and they said, what was that? There wasn't any presentation or anything. It really simply was a project launch. It was not an open house. It was just to launch the project, to say to the community, this is what we're doing. We would love to hear from you throughout the process, and this is the way you can give input throughout the process. And we did have some comment cards at the project launch, and we received 100 more comments just from the project launch itself. And so we'll have our first open house for this particular project in January, and we'll get some information out a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks before that, so people can prepare that the open house is coming. But this really basically was, come and look at what we're doing, come and hear about the project, come and meet the landscape architect team. Yep. Just an introduction to the community.
Well, and then, sorry, John, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, here's my plea to the general public is, you know, there maybe a bit of honest truth and then a request. The honest truth is that we haven't always been front facing and made it easy for people to engage positively with the city. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, some of that's on us. And actually, the pandemic wasn't anything we wished. You know, within days of me in this new job, that's something we were dealing with. But it did give us an opportunity to really rethink how we can get input on key projects, get people interested, engaged, keep them engaged in some of the decisions that affect everyone's life. And so, you know, on us to evolve that forward. And I think we have. It's not perfect. But the request is, you know, those are action words, you know, to learn, to do, to receive, to give. It's, you know, not everyone's going to have time to volunteer. If you're a single parent with kids, you're just trying to make things work. Some people don't want to be actively engaged at all, but they want to receive information. Right. I mean, we want to make sure that we have a place where everyone feels welcome to be part of city shaping business and the decisions that affect all of our lives, because really that's what a healthy democracy is. So my plea is at least check it out. It's supposed to be simple. It's made in-house, so it's not fancy. You know, you can go to the city website and it literally says Engage PT. You click on that link,
right,
and it's cityofpt.us engage. And you can kind of give it a quick look around. And if there's something that looks like you want to pay attention to it or be informed or even get engaged on it, go for it. We really need you.
I agree, John. And I love that about this town, that there's ways to find out all kinds of information, not just about the city, but also about the county by going to the city or the county's websites. You can even watch, you know, meetings. You can watch how the sausage gets made. So you can watch city council meetings or Board of County Commissioners meetings from the county. So I was curious, I just came in at the last part of the launch over at, here at, Mountain View Commons, a week ago, Tuesday. It seemed pretty low key, but I guess I'd missed the big crowd, and that's great. I don't necessarily like big crowds, but it's just me. But I missed anything. Did anything happen over at the golf course? Were you guys over at the golf course as well that afternoon?
We were. We had the project launch really was designed to be on site at both the golf course and Mountain View. And so a lot of people started over at the golf course and they wandered over to Mountain View and vice mm-hmm. versa, and just really trying to give people a good glimpse of the conversation that needs to happen in our community and how they can engage with us. And so half the design team was over at the golf course and half was at Mountain View.
I see. Now, are people concerned? I mean, it sounds like this is just my opinion or what I've heard. It sounds like some of the golfers in town are getting a little upset or a little worried that the golf course is somehow going to go away. That's not a foregone conclusion, is it?
No, it's not at all. There's no decision that's been made. The impetus of this project is really to culminate in a decision for the council to make in May or June of next year. And so really want to dive down into a pretty deep community dialogue about that land and the Mountain View Commons and the best purpose for that in our community and what we can bring to the community as far as amenities. And so no decision has been made at this point. John, yeah,
that's a great message, Carrie. I think, Jim, I'll take the bait a little bit and say it's a good chance for us to reorient around the purpose of asking questions. It goes right back to the website and to our engagement approach.
Right.
If we were only making decisions based on those who might leverage influence maybe speak louder, be well represented, or have the resources to connect to the decision makers, we might not be making the best decisions for our communities whole mm-hmm. and for the long term.
Right.
And so I would say for those who might feel threatened by change, whether it's housing policy, golf course, anything, you know, our duty is to at least ask the question. Mm-hmm. And if we have established methods to have like everyone feel comfortable and welcome at the table so that their voice can be heard and considered,
yes.
then we're doing our job and equipping our decision makers with real input. And that's really what's driving this. It's related to the golf course for sure. Right. But it's actually related to every single decision that council will make from here on out on a variety of matters. We need to make sure we're listening, and we need to make sure that people don't feel intimidated to come to the table mm-hmm. or like their voice doesn't matter, because frankly, I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
And that's not okay, because yeah. we can't have factions trying to keep others from being heard. That's not a healthy democracy.
Absolutely. And two things I noticed when I was at Mountain View Commons here. So there's a woman here who was actually, there was a woman who was working with the, who's part of the landscape architect firm. And then there was a woman who was actually working sort of alongside the landscape architect firm for community involvement and input. So it was, so there was actually sort of a linkage there where there's going to be input. And this person and her firm is actually trying to provide input and to get it to you guys and to get it to the landscape architect firm so that there's actually a lot of information going into the whole process, so which I think is fantastic. Community engagement is extremely important. But then another thing that Carrie told me, and I was blown away by this. So Carrie, I've been following this story a little bit on the last few years on places like Nextdoor and Facebook. And mm-hmm. you can tell, I told you last week, you know, there's a lot of really awful misinformation out there. Just a lot of people have the wrong idea about a lot of things about this and a lot of other things too. And people really get exercised about them. But one of the things that people have talked about in the past, and I mentioned this to you last week, was that the amount of water that was going into the golf course. And you told me something about water use at the golf course that I did not know. So I wish you'd repeat it right now for our listeners.
You know, I'm not sure what that was, Jim.
Well,
I'm
it was just
scratching my head on
no,
that.
No, it was
one,
just the amount of water.
I can tell you this.
No, it was the amount of water from the city that was getting poured onto the golf course. And then you said that there's a well there on the golf course that was activated last year. Or was it reactivated?
We just put the well in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that does help a bit with the watering. If anybody drives around the golf course, though, we do let the grass go dormant.
Yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Summertime. It's,
no,
it's brown as can be. And so. The well will certainly help with that and help with the golf course. But yeah, sorry, Jim. I was just scratching my head on
Scratch,
that.
What is he talking about? No, all I care about is the water, Carrie. No, No, the thing that was great about that is, like, you know, as a golfer, it's like when it's summertime and it's all brown like that, it's like the drives go another 50 yards. They just skitter along. It's fantastic. You know, in the fall and the winter, of course, they just stick wherever they land. So, yeah.
So if anybody wants to learn more about the golf course, I know we're here to talk about volunteers and volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. You can go on to the PT Engage site. Mm-hmm. You can hit learn and it takes you right to the golf course page. And all of that information that you're talking about is up on the golf course page. And so take a test drive of it.
We'd I love guess to hear I your, should have done my homework before it. I came to the launch.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, so what else do we have today, John? Is there any other hot topic you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, it's funny. You can go to this website. You can see a number of hot topics mm-hmm. right there.
Right.
And one of those we just discussed. The other is around the Mountain View pool or around aquatics, community health and wellness. The other we have there is Evans Vista housing master planning. I mean, these are just this is kind of a teaser, each of these things.
Right.
Really, really, these are things you can go on that website and you can kind of get the one page view of what happens and when and what we're looking at.
Learn to receive.
And I encourage people to do that. But it's really kind of it's a bit of a dry run for 2023.
Uh-huh.
You know, from what my calendar tells me, we're rather close toward the end of this year. We're working hard right now on matching the budget to the work plan aspirations, which is a bit of a challenge because we have limited resources and we have a lot we want to do. Mm-hmm. But each of those topics will head over into 2023. So we'll have a lot of opportunity for the public to engage. If you care about health and wellness and aquatics, we've got the opportunity for you. If you care about affordable and workforce housing, same thing. Right. Currently on our plan for this year, we're trying to make sure we have the resources and staffing are things like deer management and parking policy.
Right.
We'll have quite a lot for us to consider. And so each of these things, if we just went into, our own little cave and made a decision, my guess is we wouldn't nail the right answer for the full community. So we need people's input and involvement on every single one of these things. So my message really here is those are hot topics on the site now. There will be a number of other hot topics, especially as we start launching into 2023.
That's great. I heard you talking to Taylor, I think a couple of weeks ago, about deer, and that you said that if there's any sort of deer abatement or I don't know what term to use really in terms of deer control, it would have to involve the state. You can't just do it as a city, just say, okay, we're going to remove 20% of the deer or something like that. You have to involve the state, right?
Yeah. And actually, like I think I said a couple of weeks ago, we should probably decide what problem we're trying to solve, because I think a lot of folks have different opinions, which is good because it helps us understand some complexity that if we're trying to solve for one thing, maybe the solution isn't fit for solving for another problem that might be the same, kind of conjoined to the issue. So we want to set the table for this currently and tentatively. We have the state visiting us December 12th. Mm-hmm. To give us a special presentation on deer management so we can kind of enter this into 2023 as part of our work plan. So it will require collaboration. And so if like I said a couple weeks ago, if you have a fierce interest in deer, pay attention to that workshop. It's the last workshop of the year.
Okay.
One I'm failing to mention that kind of connects to all these, Jim, is, with the limited ability for staffing and resourcing, how do we prioritize and pay for the things that people want and need? And later this month, our financial sustainability task force is launching, and that will be really looking at the big picture of what our priorities are and how we fund those priorities. So there's a link to things like streets. There's a link to things like parks and community health and wellness. So that's another one that people might want to pay attention to, because it's not our budget this year. It's actually, where do we want to be in 5 or 10 years?
Oh, wow. Well, long range.
Super sexy. It's not one of those topics get me involved, but it underpins our success as a community. So, we want to get it right. So we're here indefinitely.
No, I appreciate that, because one of the things that I think I've been frustrated with my whole life, it always seems like a lot of organization. Well, I want to say governmental organizations, because a lot of them are driven by political cycles, are very often so short-sighted in terms of what they want to do or what they say they want to do. And there's never any long-range planning, it seems. So 5 or 10 years for a city is fantastic, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. We should add a zero to that, though. I mean, really, you're right. If we're really being a sustainable and just and resilient community, we need to be thinking 100 years out. And, our planning cycles don't quite account for that level of planning, but some of those things are starting to creep into the mix here.
Right.
Yesterday, I wasn't able to attend today, but the North Olympic Development Council, the Jefferson and Clown County Agency, I happen to sit on their executive board. We're putting on an energy futures conference in Blinn right now, with representatives from governments and agencies, federal, state, and local, across the peninsula, and really thinking about things like climate change, and energy resilience into the future. Those are 100-year timescales. And so some of those thoughts are entering into how we consider everything from, what our parks approach is in the coming years to, mm-hmm. What kind of, transportation infrastructure we need to,
right.
How we plan for increasing numbers of people in our community.
And yesterday I reported on the school board voting to lease the land on the high school property to the YMCA so they can build a child care center,
yes.
Which will serve about 40 children. And also will also provide community outreach to families that need services. And I thought, well, that's, you know, and that's supposed to be built by sometime in 2024. And I thought, well, that's fantastic because that's going to make a difference over decades. And one of the people from the hospital, from Jefferson Healthcare, oh heck, I can't remember her name.
Dr. Molly Parker. Perhaps.
Thank you, Molly Parker.
Yeah,
she spearheaded the research and development of the need and the plan. And got the ball rolling on this thing. And it's fantastic to hear that this is going to be happening because it
yeah,
needs to.
Yeah, and actually our very own Kerry Height has been tracking this conversation very closely.
Very good.
At those meetings. And, you know, we want to be an active, but, you know, not spearhead this because it's not the city's to. But we were a partner as part of that because we stand as a community to benefit from more childcare options, but also, frankly, as a city staff. And you know, no one needs to feel sorry for me at all, but I mean, it has a tangible impact on me and my life, whether or not I can find childcare.
Right.
And so I assume it has a similar impact on many, many other people, including a lot of folks who work for the city of Port Townsend. So I'm grateful that Kerry's been able to kind of be kind of behind the scenes and working with our partners as part of that project too.
Kerry, can you elaborate on that a little? I noticed that they're taking a piece of property that used to be for physical education at the high school. It's going to be near the pickleball courts and the tennis courts. With your parks development hat on, does that affect what the city does or how the city decides what to put in elsewhere around the city?
I think it's a larger community effort together. I mean, we're trying mm-hmm. to be complementary to each other. And we happen to have a pretty large conversation to your point earlier going on about the golf course in Mountain View campus and mm-hmm. really wanted, you know, there's some things we can do to help out with the high school if that comes to pass or, and I think that childcare, to Dr. Parker's research, she's done an incredible job, and childcare mm-hmm. is definitely a need in this community. So it just benefits everybody. And I think if we can be complementary in our planning efforts, that's the best all around for everybody.
And it certainly
it's
helps.
It's kind of like parks, Jim. I mean, you know, you don't want just one good park. I mean, we've got a couple of real iconic ones, but we need access to parks. And I'd say the same thing about childcare. We're not going to solve it with one, or affordable housing. We're not going to solve it with one project.
Right.
We probably need a pipeline of projects to really make it work.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And of course, you know, from the Jefferson Healthcare standpoint, having people work there at the hospital and in the other offices around the hospital, people need childcare, people need parks, people need all these things. I just have a quick question for Kerry. Pickleball versus tennis. There seems to be a tension. There seems to be a tension here. I used to play tennis and I loved it, but I got less mobile. I'm going to try to learn to play pickleball really soon. But I still would like to play tennis. Is it possible that pickleball courts and tennis courts might separate and actually be available, both be available?
Well, right now, ideally, pickleball courts are standalone courts because the nets are a little bit lower, the court is smaller, and they really, but if you take a tennis court, you can line four pickleball courts on a tennis court.
I know.
And install nets. And a lot of agencies or jurisdictions do that and use portable nets so that they don't take tennis offline, but they expand their pickleball.
Yeah.
And I think Port Townsend has done that to an extent. And
although the outside the county courthouse.
It just seems, pickleball is just a little. It's an easier entry for people into a sport.
Right.
It's not as hard. It's the racket is a little bit lighter. The ball's a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. You can pick it up and learn it really quickly. You don't have to spend hours and days and weeks and months to learn a new sport.
You can sometimes play it when it's wet because the wiffle ball doesn't take on the water the way a tennis ball does.
Right. So hopefully we'll have both in town, to your point.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I really appreciate how, as a relatively fit person, slightly less than the average demographic, you know, median age, people who are 20, 25 years my senior can really beat the pants off me. I think that's pretty inspiring. It's totally true. I mean, I just get schooled.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
I really appreciate that.
Well, I hope I can learn fast enough so I can school you one day, John.
Oh, you have in many other ways, Jim, but I think the future looks bright for pickleball in you.
Okay. All right. I hope so. As long as I don't land on my nose. Well, I think that's all the time we have. We're actually going to play. Jerry is here. Well, Jerry is doing he's pre-recorded a blues show, which starts at 1 o'clock. I'm just going to go out with a Bruce Springsteen song that is not blues. It's just it's called Radio Nowhere, because I think at around 12:30, that's where I was feeling like I was. So I'm just introducing that song. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, John, for being with me.
Thank you, Jim. And, all right. Take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.